So one of the things that I struggled with when series were first introduced was, what exactly is a protected series? And under our current law, we talk about it as a person. And I think that's a fun, interesting definition. And I've had a lot of practitioners tell me, hey, there's really no difference at this point between a person and an entity. And I beg to differ. We'll talk about it. Again, talking about the potential for ambiguity in a statute that either has a different definition from what's either in the TBOC or the Business and Commerce Code, or maybe it just doesn't even make a reference to a series. If a court is trying to resolve that ambiguity, one of the places they may look is the Code Construction Act, because Code Construction Act is supposed to be a fallback plan for the court. Well, if you look at the Code Construction Act's definition of a person, person is a very, very commonly used term in a lot of our statutes. You will not find a series within that definition, a protected series, that is. Remember that an organization is defined in the TBOC as not including a protected series, and remember the protected series is not an entity. Those are the only two references from my perspective in the Code Construction Act that could really even fit the criteria. If you look at TBOC 101.609 and 101.605, there is a attempt, or there was the intent, to capture the majority of the limited liability company provisions and, in effect, change the definition, cross-apply series to the chapter applying to limited liability companies. And here's what I mean by that. If you were to look at TBOC 101.609 and 605, it will say, okay, certain aspects of LLC law apply, and where it says LLC, insert series. Where it says manager, insert manager of a given protected series. So the idea was, in most cases, we're going to say that the principles that apply to a LLC should theoretically apply to a protected series. In my view, we got most of the way there, but not quite all the way. I had a client come in recently, time flies, about a year and a half ago. It doesn't feel like it. They were established as an SLLC, home builder, had 8 separate series, protected series underneath already, okay? And they had a few goals in mind when they came in. One of them was, hey, we've got valuable property, intellectual property, in the SLLC, and we've got a great name. We've been around for 40-plus years. And they wanted to use that name in each development that they were doing. Now, mind you, they had already formed these protected series, and they were already using different names based on the development. Okay. And, oh, by the way, we also want to be able to market the developments at each location with one protected series. So in other words, one protected series, not involved in construction at all, is going to do the marketing for the rest of the protected series. Okay. And then lastly, we have this intellectual property in the SLLC, and we really need to use it in the rest of the protected series. Okay. We'll address these in due course. The first thing that hit me was lending. This company gets loans from developers on a development-by-development basis, but they also have an overriding construction lender. And I got their loan paperwork, and the bank had placed every protected series as a co-borrower on their loan. And I talked to the lending department and talked to their corporate legal department and said, look, I mean, we can't do it this way. I'd be okay if we want to make them a guarantor, okay? Because there's a distinction. A guarantee is strictly construed. You know, if there's a bankruptcy scenario, there might be some defenses. There's a difference between being a co-borrower. Well, we're glad that you feel that way, but as far as we're concerned, that's something that you'll have to explain in court. Well, as we all know, he who has the gold makes the rules, or she. And so, you know, we're really not in a position to object at that point when we need this massive construction funding. So don't tell me that there isn't a difference between a person and an entity. Wouldn't a single-purpose entity have been better for this client in this scenario? I mean, this is, you know, instantly what hit me. The other aspect of that is a protected series is not, again, an entity. it cannot file an assumed name. So that would have been an easy fix. If you've got a valuable name and you're trying to use it across multiple protected series, in theory, I should be able to file an assumed name. Well, if you look at the Business and Commerce Code, a series doesn't qualify technically to file an assumed name. The SLLC does, and that's a lot of times how we recognize that a protected series comes into existence. These were all things I kind of discovered along the way, and I hope they surprise you as much as they surprised me.